I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB. I'm at the Boston University Tanglewood Institute with, two spectacular harp players, Ann Hobson Pilot, who was a harpist with the BSO for, I think, 40 years, most of that time as principal harpist, and Franziska Hoon, who is a harpist with many organizations and teaches in Boston as well as here at BUTI. So thank you both for being here. Ann, you will be performing a concerto with the BUTI Orchestra in about 2 weeks from our conversation right now, anyway, and it's the Ginastera concerto. So let's just dive right in with that piece. Not in great detail, but I'm curious, looking at your performances and your calendar, this seems to be a concerto you like especially. What is it about the Ginastera concerto that is especially rewarding to you as a soloist?
I do enjoy playing that piece especially. I think it's the Spanish roots, the rhythmic part of it that I really enjoy, and also the harmonic structure of the piece. And also the fact that I actually met Ginastera back in, I think it was about 1983, when I was performing it at Indian Hill outside of Boston. And he came to BU to give a master class, and the conductor of the orchestra that I was performing it with knew that I was performing it, obviously, in a couple of weeks, so he had me play it for him, and that was a special treat.
Well, that is fascinating. It's always a great treat to play for someone who wrote the music, and especially someone of Ginastera's caliber and stature. Was there anything about that encounter that changed something about the way you were playing the concerto?
Well, unfortunately, he didn't speak English very well, so he basically just sat there with a big smile on his face and nodding, so I can't say much changed.
That's fair enough. But the piece, as you describe it, it sounds like it has all kinds of color and energy to it that might not be sort of the what a lot of BUTI students, who are largely high school, maybe early college students, might be a little bit outside of their normal experience. What do you feel like this piece does for the BUTI students, either in the orchestra or just those hearing you play it and perform it? What does it offer them as something that is out of the ordinary?
Well, I think what it does, what it will do for them, and what it will do for anyone that hears the piece, is to recognize how the extent of what the harp can do. It's extremely well written for the harp, using enharmonics and as you said, the colors in the piece are just fantastic. And most people that hear the piece that don't know about the harp that much say to me that I never knew the harp could do all that. You know, they're used to hearing beautiful arpeggios and stuff, and not just these kind of colors with banging on the sounding board and whistling sounds and very rhythmic playing with pedal slides. So I think that the BUTI kids will be impressed with it too, hopefully.
Well, and those terms, some of which I don't even understand, kind of are so compelling that I can't imagine somebody not wanting to hear it after that description. Franziska, you've been here at BUTI for many years, working with Anne, with many students. How many harp students this year are there with BUTI?
We always welcome 4 students to the program. They get a lot of attention in this program, which makes BUTI very unique. And so with the attention they get, because they do chamber music, they get 2 lessons a week, they could do orchestra, wind ensemble, harp class, they do, and you know, body awareness, yoga, and all this kind of stuff. They get so much attention that 4 is our maximum number. And we've had this number for many, many years, and it's also a good balance, because it's also a question of harps. You know, when you have a harpist, you also need multiple instruments. I mean, harps is always a little complicated. And BUTI is supporting us greatly, and BU as well, to make all of this work with the students.
Tell me about the students. I mean, you don't need to get into specific names or anything, but tell me about the range of students that you have, their ages and what their backgrounds are, what they've brought here, and what you have seen so far, even in the short time you've been here this summer, in terms of how they've begun to open up as students.
So the program is between 15 and 18. There have been some years where we've had slightly younger students if they're exceptionally talented. But it's really a program that's designed high school just until the summer before they leave for college. And the pressure they're put under here is amazing. I mean, good pressure, right? They get to perform, they have to practice, there's real musicians around them. They hear the BSO play, they suddenly really realize what it is to be a musician. And the adjustment for them is huge, and to see them change and see them get it and grow is really, really inspiring as a teacher. I was here as a student myself in 91, through, and then I did 6 summers at BTI, and Tanglewood has this magic to really open you up what it means to be a musician, what music means to the world. And so it's a great privilege to be part of, now later return that same, share the same love with the next generation.
I did not realize you were part of the BUTI program. I thought that you had been a TMC fellow at one time, but you have experience in exactly the age range you're talking about. And you'll have to pardon me if I'm making too many assumptions about players of that age, but I imagine harpists not having opportunities for a wide breadth of experience when they're in their early teens. It doesn't feel like, in my experience, there's a lot of opportunity for young kids who are interested in the harp. So tell me about some moments that you've experienced when one of your students, whether this year or in previous years, has sort of had one of those eye-opening moments of what it is to be a musician, as you put it.
Well, the most recent very touching experience was from a student last year she came in and had beautifully prepared everything, but we could tell that she was very under stress and she felt very panicked about all the demands that were put on her. And she worked so hard with the support of the other students and did beautifully at the end. And just before this summer, we both came out, we got this amazing email from her thanking us personally, what change this work that the fact that she could do something so hard and excel at the end, what that had meant to her and how she was feeding off that her entire year. And she now is going to college with more stamina, with more self-confidence, and how that basically changed her outlook on life, and how that you can do things that you don't believe in you could do before. And that was very touching to just get it. Literally, for me, it was the day before I left out here that I received that email. It was very, very touching.
You couldn't ask for it to be better timed. That's beautiful. That is just a wonderful story. And you've been here for many years, and you haven't performed at Tanglewood since your retirement from the orchestra. What made this the summer that you wanted to come and actually get on stage here in the Berkshires once again?
Well, Hillary invited me to. Actually, she asked me if I'd be interested in playing the concerto that John Williams wrote for me on Willows and Birches, and I agreed to that. But I think probably that might have been a little difficult for the kids, and also because the conductor had performed the Ginastera just last year with Philadelphia, and so he asked to do the Ginastera, and as I said before, it's one of my favorite works, so I was all in.
Excellent. And if we can broaden beyond BUTI, I'd love to take the opportunity to ask you about your very first encounter with Tanglewood, which is now many years ago. You spent a lot of summers here with the BSO and with the Boston Pops, and maybe some, I don't want to make this question too obvious, because of course the place has changed a lot. The campus has expanded, there's more buildings and all that, but tell me if you feel that there's anything different about sort of the essence of the experience of being at Tanglewood compared to your first encounter with the place.
Well, it was a wonderful place to be from when I started. My first summer here was 1970, so quite a few years ago. And I mean, I was very impressed with the beauty of the place, and I still am. But at the time, there was no Ozawa Hall. The concerts of the TMC were held in the theater. There was the shed. The shed actually hadn't even been redone at that time. So it was very difficult for the harps to stay in tune, and they kept them backstage. And the way they there was no air conditioner or anything in the harp room. So the way they kept the harps, or the way they tried to keep the harps dry, was to leave a light bulb on, which didn't quite do much, but... Then I can't remember the year that the backstage area was redone, and I remember when I came back, I had to play a chamber music concert a couple of days later, when I came into the harp room, my harp had 14 broken strings on it. So I had to change all of the strings, and I went into the management and I said, this just won't do, we need air conditioning. So from that point on, we've had air conditioning in the harp room, and it makes it much easier. So from that standpoint, my experience improved greatly.
It got a little more civilized. Well, do you tend to keep up with what the BSO is doing now, or since your retirement, is that sort of like, well, that's the past, and I'm more into the other things that I'm doing? I know you're based mostly in Florida now, I think, and you travel a lot. Do you keep in touch with the current iteration of the Boston Symphony?
To some extent, my stepson is partners with Lucy Lin, who was in the BSO, so I keep in touch that way and still have some friends in the orchestra. But basically, not that much. You know, I have my own schedule and sometimes forget what day it is. Sometimes forget, oh, this is Friday afternoon, there should be a concert, or Saturday night. And that part is nice, not to have to worry about that.
Right, yeah. Well, that does speak to the sort of grueling schedule that the BSO keeps up here, with three concerts a week, basically, I mean, with a few breaks here and there. But that does seem like a really punishing sort of schedule. Did it feel that way at the time, or were you just so completely wrapped in your career that it didn't feel like that much of a stretch to pull off that many concerts in that number of weeks?
Well, believe it or not, I was a lot younger then. So it was a lot easier to deal with that. I didn't really think that much about it at the time. But over the years, over the 40 years, you know, maybe 37, 38, 39, I started to think, this is a bit much. I like the idea of sitting by a beach and swimming and all of that periodically. So that's when I decided to retire. But I still play quite a bit of chamber music and, you know, concertos.
Yeah, no, looking at your schedule, it seems that you certainly keep busy. So I'm sure that the musical vitality has been there all along. Franziska, you mentioned the letter that you got that started this summer. And I'm curious about what else you've heard from students that have been here in past years and where they have ended up. What has BUTI led to? I mean, there's the ways of professional accomplishment that we might cite of various players who come through here, but also those things that you mentioned from this one student, the sort of personal transformation. How often do the BUTI alums keep in touch with you and let you know kind of what's going on?
It varies. I mean, it's really beautiful to just see in the world. There are several of our alums who've now won major positions in orchestras. And so, of course, we remember when those names go up. And so it's always very, very proud and very touching to see that, you know, how far they've gone, clearly. Some students, you know, come in and check in and say, hey, you know, now I've one of our former students now has just entered a big harp competition recently. And it was really nice to see that how far she's come to play in that kind of competition. It varies. Some people stay in touch more personally. Some people just keep us professionally informed. It varies because it's, you know, we've now done this 17 years together. So it's a lot of students.
I guess it is. Even with four a summer, that's a lot of students still. And tell me about the extent of the BUTI season and your own sort of how that intersects with your life as a professional musician. How many months out of the year does this commitment to teaching here take from you?
So obviously the 6 weeks that we're out here, and that's really the highlight of the season, so to speak. But Anne and I are really fantastic team by now, so that we are in the beginning we had to do more planning, obviously, but by now we are really well, like a well-oiled machine, where we know exactly who does what, and so in that sense it's not taking months of preparation, but I mean it begins to be in our minds all year round. Basically the minute the season closes, fall is the recruiting time. In late January, February is when they have to send in the tapes, and then we have to look at the tapes and see who we'd like to invite. And then from then on, it's planning, you know, who do we invite? What do they need to know before they come out? Then what are we actually going to do with them, specifically repertoire planning? What is the orchestra wind ensemble plan looking like? So then the closer we get, the more concrete it gets in the details. But basically, BUTI never leaves our minds the entire year.
It's a huge commitment, but it sounds like with a huge purpose and huge impact as well. Francisco Hoon, thank you so much for a little bit of your time today. It's wonderful to hear about the program.
It's been great to be here. Thank you.
And Hobson Pilot, I'm thrilled to meet you, and thank you for your time here as well, and for filling me in on some of what's going on here at BUTI.
Thank you also. Enjoyed it.